Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 12th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets and the USDA reports released this morning with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half of the hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. And then just after the bottom of the hour, Jim Angel, state climatologist with the Illinois State Water Survey, will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, Kevin Steffi, extension entomologist from the University of Illinois, will join us to discuss the bean leaf beetle. It all happens on this Friday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The May wheat at 394, up 11.5 cents. July futures at 401.5, up 9.5. Kansas City wheat at May contract, $4.75 a bushel, up 9 for the day. In the corn pit, May futures at 248.25, 10.5 higher. July futures, 258.25, up 11.25. September contract at 268.5, up 10.5. And the December futures, 281.75, up 10.5 for the day. May soybeans, $6 even, down 2.75. July at 613, unchanged. August contract, 619.5. They were up a penny. And November soybeans at 632 were up 0.75 for the day. Bean meal futures down $3 at 174.80. Bean oil, 26 even. They were up 3 cents. Feeder cattle finished the main contract at $102.40 over at the Mercantile Exchange. They were 57.5 higher. And June live cattle at 77.40 finished 95 cents higher. Lean hogs May contract down 40 cents at $67.30 for the day. Outside markets, crude oil at 72.05, now down $1.27. The CRB at 361.65, off 370 for the day. The Dow at 11,397. They're down 103, almost 104 points at this hour. Silver futures, 1417, are down 70 in the June contract. And June gold at $711.80, off $90.70 for the day.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, and to discuss the USDA reports released this morning is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hi there, Todd.
Boy, what a day it was in Chicago. Why don't you start off this morning with USDA numbers for me, and then we'll work our way through this. We're going to spend a little extra time with you today, if that's okay.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, great. Well, we had world-ending stocks down 16% in total grains, wheat. Of that, wheat down 10%, lowest in 25 years. Coarse grains down 23% versus 05-06, and that would put us at the lowest in over 20 years there. Oil seeds weren't as friendly because we did come in with a higher U.S. crop up to, 650 million bushels, and we didn't get a new world oil seed 06-07 number yet this month, so the market's still waiting for a little bit of additional information on that. But those are the primary highlights. We did start to see also something we always look for when prices are going up, something that we saw start to happen in the wheat was we came in with a 100 million bushel reduction in wheat exports this month, and USDA specifically quoted that as due to tight stocks, meaning the domestic market and the world market are probably going to have to fight each other for what supply we have. And, you know, I think the bottom line for us was the trade going into the report Thursday was looking more at the outside markets and wondering what the USDA would give us in terms of would this take us off the track, would they give us something that would not allow the outside markets to continue to influence us, would they negate some of the outside market positiveness, and they did not do any of that. In fact, they added to the friendliness of this market, and I think going into the close, we talked to some traders at the end of the day, they were still stunned at how big the ethanol demand is and what's going on in the energy-related complexes of the corn. corn and the bean oil at the Board of Trade.
Yeah, if we take a look at the numbers, and speaking of the ethanol demand and some of the other things, you take a look at the ending stocks for this year's ending stocks, 2.226 billion. That's fairly close to the trade guess. But if you go out next year to the 06-07 ending stock, which in April was estimated at a 2.3, came in today at 1.141 billion bushels. And I haven't gotten down to take a look at what they changed in the numbers, and I don't know whether you've got that in front of you in terms of usage.
Sure.
But where was the big change? Something had to happen in here. Either they dropped a lot of what was in production, or they really put a lot of usage in, or both. Where did those numbers come from?
Two quick answers on that. First, from our own perspective, we used the last three-year average on corn acres planted is 80.4. The five-year is 79.2. So we went with the three-year average of 80.4 in our private estimates, and USDA went with 78 in March, and they kept that 78 again this month. And so instead of going with the 3 or 5 year averages, USDA elected to stay with their prospective plantings report. So that was part of the reason, because we were well over 2 billion. I think we came in at 2.06 on our estimate on 06-07 corn. It was primarily because of the big acreage increase that the USDA wasn't shown in the prospective plantings report. So that kind of made the private estimates a lot higher just by default. We were up there in the top end. I think the other thing was we came in with a total supply, or excuse me, a total usage of 11.6. That compares with just over 11 billion in 05-06. And so that's probably the two major vehicles that allowed us to get such a low carryover, because they kept our beginning stocks at 2.2. They kept the yield for this year at 149. And I think that's even going to be looked at. You know, if you stay strong in these outside markets and the dollar stays weak, and you correct, fill gaps in gold, you correct and check support in the crude oil, and the markets hold firm in those outside complexes, traders and funds will probably come back around, because we're already hearing this afternoon. They'll probably come back around and say, you know, that 149, we may not be able to make that because of how cool it's been or how slow we've been in planning, how bad emergence is. And so this will tend to feed upon itself if we keep this momentum going in these outside markets. And we really want to stress that, because that's the hardest thing about this marketing year, is that you're dealing with literally 27-year highs in gold. I mean, I was an eighth grader getting beat up on the bus going to middle school when this happened last, and yeah, there's a lot of folks that haven't been around very long when this happened last. So you're dealing with 27-year highs in gold, and you're dealing with 22-year lows in world corn stocks, 25-year lows in world wheat stocks, and when you go back and look at what happened in 1980, when the last time gold was up here, and you had the Iranian hostage crisis, corn went from 228 to 396, beans went from 673 to 956, wheat went from 354 to 544. So these outside markets really can cause havoc in a hedge guy's program. And we are hedgers, we're risk managers, and so that's why we're sticking with the bought puts, because the value levels will come back around eventually. But you don't want to try and fight City Hall here. And today USDA said to us personally, your acreage estimates are way off, and we're going to take it at face value because we closed technically above it, and we also see these outside fundamentals still rip-roaring right now.
Yeah, I want to go back through some of these WASD numbers. These are the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, which you quoted just a bit, and I do have them in front of me now. Planted acreage still at 78 million, just for comparison's sake, 81.8 last year. They're harvested at 70.8, average yield at 149 for the corn, beginning stocks at 2.226, production 10.5 billion bushels, 10.55 billion bushels is expected production. And then some of the interesting numbers are the ethanol numbers, in fact, where they had 2 years ago in 04, we used 1.323, that's 1,323 million for ethanol production, 1.6 last year, and they now have a number of 2.15 billion bushels of corn being used for ethanol this year, and they come up then with an ending stocks of 1.141 billion for the corn, average farm price at $2.25 to $2.65 for cash price on the corn.
Right.
Can we manage that?
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, you know, the problem with this market is that could be low based upon these outside markets. If the, it goes back to something we heard on Bloomberg News this week, early in the week, an analyst was talking about commodities and fund investment, and we've talked about this a lot at the panels, and many people know this already, but it's worth repeating. You know, $200 billion or $150 billion in commodity markets, because of the size of the leverage, gets you a lot more bang for the buck than $200 billion in financial markets. You know, in the euro-dollar market or the S&P market, $200 billion doesn't get you very much. But in the commodity markets, it's a relatively small market, and that kind of capital, because of the leverage, is extremely, extremely powerful. So you just don't fight City Hall here, and you still keep on the idea that I've got to be able to sleep at night, I've got to be able to pay my banker back. And the other thing goes back to, Todd, what's going on in these back-end markets, what's going on right now in corn and bean oil especially, they're putting the energy premium in these commodity prices. So they see crude oil, they see inflation, they see gold, and the funds are by default sticking and by de facto sticking these premiums, these inflationary and energy premiums into our prices right now. We say grab a hold of that, because next year, if your energy prices are still high, but the world oil market has already peaked and the demand's on its way down, you're going to still be paying high prices, but by your hedging, you won't have to absorb that. You'll have that factored in already. So we want to please the banker. We want to please ourselves and our bottom line, and that means buy the puts and continue to roll them up into July. And we're going to keep it very simple. It's not a cheap program. We acknowledge that, but we also know a lot of our peers out there have sold a lot of futures and really done tried to do a good job of hedging, but this market has just taken their head off right now at this point.
A couple of things. What happens, for instance, if we get to June, at the end of the June when the acreage report comes out, and you're right, and we have a good-looking crop at that point, and rather than 78, we're at 80 million acres.
And we're not alone in saying that. So I think there's a good likelihood of that. I think you bring up a good point. And what happens is the market has to reevaluate whether we'll ever see a 1.14 billion bushel carryover again, and whether it starts to go above 1.5, and you never see 1.14 again, and they've already priced that in. And you hit it on the nose, is that we're not going to fight City Hall in terms of we're not going to try and pick highs, but we are going to lock in good value, because the USDA is off kilter as far as what they typically do. They typically go with 3- and 5-year average or some type of statistical benchmark, and they're not doing that this year. And they may end up being right, but in our view, you're going to have the puts, and if you're wrong, the puts are going to be useless, but your cash price is going to be at a level that we really didn't think possible. And if we're right by what way we market, then the you know, harvest lows will still be down there, and the puts will be very useful, even if you didn't lock in your cash.
You know, I woke up this morning and was thinking about ethanol for whatever reason. It was in the back of my mind. I guess I'm in the market too often.
These markets tend to do that.
Yeah, isn't that awful? So I was thinking about ethanol, and I have a question here about this ethanol market and policy. And I don't know whether you've discussed this anywhere, but I kind of want to get your thoughts on this. What is it that if the Bush administration, if ethanol becomes a true part of the energy policy of the nation, other than just the substantial amount that they're trying to put into the marketplace at this point, that they've done already, if it really truly becomes a substantial part of the fuel supply of the nation, how does that change, for instance, the thought of having to have 2 or 3 billion bushels on hand as reserve, as opposed to allowing it to run down to 1.41?
Yeah.
And do we need to put a policy in place that brings back a reserve of some sort, government-owned reserve potentially, I suppose?
Yeah, you know, you bring up a huge point, because right now in the news wires you see the large commercials saying, hey, you know, we're really trying to use our food source for an energy source. And I think they're saying that because they're starting to see more and more E85 stations. And GM came out today and wants to push E85 in their home state. And, you know, when you talk about 85% ethanol, not 15% or 10%, you're really hitting upon what the question you're asking. And so, yeah, it goes back to you're not going to have the acreage. You're not going to have the ability to have a crop problem and a supply problem. And really, that's what this market's all about right now. These funds, you know, we talk about, well, the funds aren't trading the fundamentals. The funds are all over the place. They're just swinging a big money bat. I truly believe, because of some of the people we talked to and some of the information we've gathered, that the funds are ahead of the curve, that they see that not only we're going to need ethanol for better control of pollution, but China's going to need it, and other countries are going to need it. They're going to need natural gas.
Well, the whole
energy sector is starting to blossom. But
I guess that's kind of my point. My thought about this is that if you think about this just a little bit and you look farther range down here, if you think, okay, so we put ethanol and soybean into biodiesel, and then we start to depend on that, and we don't depend so much on the Middle East, and China picks up the slack there because they have a burgeoning economy. They have a huge number of folks that could take advantage of fuel. What happens at that point? How much do we have to have on hand of both of those products or products like them that we can stuff into those plants in order to maintain fuel security? Not only fuel security, but food security.
Sure. You're talking about needing at least an 11 to an 11.5 billion bushel crop every year, not have any shortfall. And I think that goes back to, again, the futures market, by the way, the energy, the crude oil trading in the futures month after month has got this premium built in. Look at December 08 corn.
Yeah.
We were at 328.5.
Yeah.
Look at December 07 corn. People are saying, why are these funds buying December 07 $4 calls with both hands? Because
yeah.
That's what I heard yesterday on the close. I heard it again today when I talked to them at midday. And I think it goes to exactly what you're saying, because they see clearly right now, because of a weaker dollar and a stronger Asia, that the world economy and the energy demand is going to hit. They're going to come together, and they're going to hit each other, and it's going to be the immovable force against the unstoppable object as far as how's supply going to meet this demand, and that's why they're putting these kind of premiums in the market right now.
Yeah, farmers need to go out more than to this year. Do they need to go out to 07, maybe?
We think that the 07 does need to be capitalized upon a little bit. We're saying 10 to 15% on both 07 corn and 07 beans. The IEA came out today and lowered petroleum demand for next year, energy demand for next year. And I haven't gotten through the whole article, but we've been watching for that, because at some point you are going to ration demand. And so, yeah, we would do 10 to 15%. We'd do zero on 08 right now. We just don't have enough underneath us to really make a good recommendation. I think we're overall, Todd, on target for a mindset that between now and the middle of the year, these things are converging, these outside market influences. Now we've got a very friendly corn report and a very friendly wheat report. All these things are converging with a weaker dollar that we should see most of the upside between now and the middle of the year, and then it's going to be a lot harder to feed this commodity bull as we go from, say, September to February of 07.
All right. Well, we thank you much. It was fun talking to you today. I appreciate it.
You know, you always do a great interview. You guys do a great job there. Have a nice weekend, sir.
You too, Mike.
Okay.
Mike Zuzlow with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
At the bottom of the hour, Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. The forecast for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola tonight calls for mostly cloudy skies, a few scattered showers. Those will be most numerous, he says, in the northern sections and central parts of Indiana. Lows will range this evening from 37 in northwestern Illinois to 46 in the south. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, most numerous in the north sections, with central Indiana having some scattered showers as well. Isolated thunderstorms will be possible in the south. Highs tomorrow from 50 in the north to 65 in the south. The extended forecast across the Tuesday through Monday, mostly cloudy with some scattered showers and an area of drizzle. Tuesday, it'll be mostly cloudy and a few showers, mainly in Indiana. Highs on Sunday in the 50s in the north, 60s elsewhere. Highs Monday and Tuesday in the 60s. The lows through that same period, mostly in the 40s. Well, up next, farmers have begun to make the connection between the bean leaf beetle, bean pod model virus, and green stem. But it doesn't mean producers should ignore the thresholds used to treat for the insect. The connection between the bean leaf beetle, bean pod model virus, and grain stem is not very clear. Each of these can cause serious problems in a soybean field on their own. It is thought that the beetle can carry the virus from one soybean plant to the other, and that the virus has an impact on how long the stem of the bean stays green after maturity. Green stems create problems at harvest. Extension entomologist Kevin Steffi from the University of Illinois says it would be best if farmers simply ignored these relationships when deciding whether or not to treat for the bean leaf beetle.
The bottom line here for soybean growers in Illinois is to stick to the thresholds based on leaf feeding and don't knee-jerk reaction when you see bean leaf beetles, because if there aren't very many of them present, they're not going to cause yield loss on their own, and the odds are pretty good they're not going to be transmitting the virus. That's the bottom line. And this is all sort of complex. Until we understand the relationship better, we're still going to fall back on the thresholds that I have suggested for leaf feeding.
Those thresholds are 12 beetles per foot of row on VE stage soybeans, those that have just emerged. On stage 2 soybeans, that number per foot of row jumps to 39 before an insecticide treatment would be recommended.
And it's really important in a year like 2006. I think the last time I looked, about 14% of the soybeans have been planted. Well, the earliest planted soybeans are going to be magnets to bean leaf beetles. So any fields that start emerging here very early in May need to be watched very carefully, because we could see a large number of bean leaf beetles. And even though I've discussed the virus, I don't want the virus to be the focus. The bean leaf beetles should be the focus, not the virus, at this point.
There is some interesting research happening at the University of Illinois related to green stem. Stay with me as we make the leap from the bean leaf beetle past the bean pod model virus and to green stem directly. U of I scientists over 3 recent years studied green stem in soybean cultivars. They've determined the amount of green stem is consistent year to year in those varieties subject to high or moderate levels of the disorder. They haven't yet been able to decipher whether or not that trait is inheritable and therefore could be manipulated by soybean breeders. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On the subject of soybeans, I had a farmer email me this morning asking if I talked to any of the extension folks about whether soybeans ought to be put in the ground at this time because of the cool weather. And so I made a quick note out to Emerson Napsiger. He wrote me back and said, sure, go ahead and put them in the ground. Even if it stayed a little cool, it expected to warm up fairly quickly, and it would be best to have them in the ground as opposed to not in the ground at this point. Online with us now from Ludlow, Illinois, is Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Hey, tell me how basis has reacted to the higher prices. Did I see that it broke 4 cents yesterday? Is that right?
We saw some kind of general 2-3-4 cent breaks around, depends on the market. There's some southeast rail markets where it's hard to even draw a bid out this morning with the way the board ran up. Now, how much of that is just kind of a gut reaction to the shock of seeing the board move that far? People pulled their basis levels back, pulled their bids, and then kind of wait and see what happens. And it'll probably be Monday, I think, before things really sort themselves out.
Yeah, when you say move that far, on the weekly moves, corn up 17.75 this week in the Dease contract. No beans were up 6.75. What farmers have to say this morning and this afternoon after the USDA reports?
This morning it was sell me some corn, and this afternoon was what happened to the corn basis. Or pretty much the two general comments.
Yeah. So. And in fact, how did it hold up yet this afternoon? Did it break more?
We, in general, were down 2-3 cents old crop, a couple cents on new crop. And again, Again, I'm not sure how long that's good, if that's going to shake out or not, or if that's kind of a gut reaction. It's putting back in a pretty wide carry between nearby corn, fall corn, and shoot fall of 07.
Yeah, so you managed to gain about half of what actually picked up was
yeah,
picked up
a little better than that, but yeah.
What are your bids for the day?
We are at 232 on nearby corn. If you look at it, new crop, you're up to 251. You're in the 290 range for next year. Beans, 590 on nearby.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
All right, Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. He's out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Friday afternoons. I'll be back with the weather forecast in 2 minutes. Right now, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A contract dispute is putting health care coverage for several thousand customers of personal care into question. Prevena Health, which owns hospitals in Urbana and Danville, says it's terminating its contract with personal care next month over what it calls serious violations of its contract. A letter to brokers from personal care says it will contest the action. Tuition and fees for new students at Illinois State University will increase by double digits for the fifth straight year next fall. ISU trustees today approved a 13.5% tuition and fee increase for new in-state students that will boost the average annual cost by about $920 a year. Room and board rates will go up more than 7%. ISU President Al Bowman says the increase is needed because of declines in state funding over the years. The murder trial of Amanda Hamm has been scheduled to start October 23rd. Hamm is charged in the drowning deaths 3 years ago of her three children in Clinton Lake. Hamm will be tried in Decatur because of the small jury pool and high profile of the case in DeWitt County. Hamm's ex-boyfriend, Maurice Legrone Jr., has already been convicted in the deaths and sentenced to life in prison. DeWitt County authorities say a man's body was found in the rubble of a nightclub that was destroyed by fire early this morning. The fire at the Wildside Cabaret in Kenny, southwest of Clinton, was reported by a passing driver shortly before 2 this morning. The body was found more than 2 hours later after the fire had died down. The man's name has not yet been released. Indiana House Speaker Brian Bosma has asked a federal appeals court to overturn a judge's decision restricting prayers during House sessions. Bosma's appeal argues that the federal judge overstepped judicial bounds when he ruled the House could not formally open sessions with prayers that mention Jesus Christ or endorse any particular religion. The last Hummer H1 will roll off the assembly line in Mishawaka, Indiana next month. General Motors says this will be the last year for the gas-guzzling status symbol. AM General says no jobs will be cut. The workers will be shifted to military production. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Well, the weathermen just aren't cooperating with us this week. I think I went through 7 of them today. Jim Angel is not available. He's sick and at home. We wish him the best. Steve Hilberg, who is our normal Friday analyst, is gone. The folks at Chesapeake Energy, there are 2 of them, they're gone. Our own folks here, and there are a couple of them, are not available. So we'll get to the weather forecast as they have written it here in a moment. But I do want to go back through some of the numbers that USDA released because we haven't heard all of them yet this afternoon. So this is the way things laid out in Washington, D.C. this morning. These are the WASDE numbers. So they're now predicting that this year we'll put 78 million acres of corn in the ground, raise a 10.5 billion bushel crop, and end the next marketing year, fall of 2007, with 1.14 billion bushels still in the bin. So that would be the ending stocks per 07 next, not this fall, but the following fall. On the soybean side, production at just over 3 billion bushels, planted acres at 76.9, ending stocks at 650 million acres for next year. Cash price at 510 to 610. By the way, cash price for the corn, 225 to 265. Average yield on both of those crops for the soybeans, 40.7 bushels to the acre, and corn at 149. Here's the forecast very quickly for tonight. Mostly cloudy, some scattered showers. Most of those will be numerous in the northern sections in central Indiana. Lows will range from 37 in northwestern Illinois to 46 in the south. Tomorrow in the two-state region, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, says Mike Sola. Most numerous in the northern sections, again in central Indiana as well. Isolated thunderstorms will be possible in the south there. Highs will range tomorrow from 50 in the north to 65 in the south. And that is today's Closing Mark Report. Thanks for joining us on this Friday afternoon. We appreciate it. We're hopeful that you will join us again tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Should be a great Commodity Week program. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up online or as a podcast. Just pick up our website at willag.org. For complete details. For Dave Dickey, I'm Todd Gleason.